I'm so glad that he's faithful to us, even though we're not to him.
Amen.
Kindness of God, isn't it? Great is his faithfulness. If you're turning your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, we take this brief time during offertory to go through questions that you might have, and many of you send them in the offering plate. We encourage you to do that if you have a question. This particular question is dealing with what does it take to become a part of a church? I'll read the question. How long does one have to go to a church in order to make it his church home? It's a good question, isn't it? And then they asked that I put in scripture, which I think I'll do. Acts chapter 2 is really the beginning of the church. And scripture tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon man, and he began to proclaim great things. Peter stands up in the power of the Holy Spirit and begins to proclaim a message. As he proclaims the message, the people's hearts are pierced, Scripture says, and that's what God does. He takes his word and he convicts our hearts. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself.'" And it says, "And with many words he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer." Probably one of the best descriptions of what really church is about. It goes on and it says that everyone kept feeling a sense of awe and wonder over the marvel of what God was doing in their midst. And it says in verse 44, "And all those who had believed were together." That is describing, really, once again, what a church is. The word church itself, ecclesia, means a called out group, that we're called out from the world and we're called to be something separate. And in this passage, it seems as if he's conveying that the thing that makes us different is that we hold all things in common. That is to say, that we have a common bond, the person of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we let all those other things fade to the side and we're joined together because we are literally saints of Christ. It says, if you read on down a little bit further, it says in verse 46, "And day by day they were continuing with one mind in the temple." How do you get a whole bunch of different kinds of people together in one mind? As Philippians 2 would say, have the mind of Christ. It says in verse 47, "They were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." So the scripture is telling us that those who were added to the number were those who were saved. So to answer your question, first of all, to become a part of a church, you have to be born again. You have to be a believer. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way and that he has saved you from your sins and that he has rescued you and that through him you not only have forgiveness of sin, but you have everlasting life. We are believers. We believe in this one truth that Jesus Christ is the answer. In him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. We believe Jesus Christ. And we are united because of this. Our love is for Christ. We want to follow Christ. We're followers of Christ. Therefore, we call ourselves Christians, which means followers of Christ. We understand as time went on, churches were formed in the sense of independent churches in different places. But they're all the same in the sense if it's a genuine church, they are full of believers who follow Christ. They don't follow an organization, they don't follow a pastor, they follow the person of Jesus Christ. And so we come together, and what makes you a part of the church? Well, as I read in Romans chapter 12, it says that we're devoted to one another in love. So really, you being a part of the church has more to do with you than it has to do with us or me, because it's whether or not you wanted to be devoted to the body of Christ. Now, someone might ask, well, what does it take to be a part of a family? Well, you have to be a part of the family. You have to show up. You have to be a part of the fellowship and be devoted to one another in love. Romans 12 says you do this without hypocrisy. And you have a genuine desire to follow Christ. And we are bound together by this fellowship. But as you go on, and I'd have you turn to Romans chapter 16. It's a chapter that we don't often turn to because it seems like just kind of like a list of names. But in Romans chapter 16, we have this list of names that are people in the church, and in particular in the church at Rome. And what we understand is that, once again, a church is not an organization. It is an organism. It's a body. It is the body of Christ. It is living, breathing, and it's people. And so he begins to talk about individuals. He doesn't talk about a corporate entity. He talks about individuals. And if you look with me in Romans chapter 16, he starts off naming these individuals. He starts off by saying, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is in Caesarea. So what he's telling us is that this is a person that is serving in this body. He then says that you need to receive her in a manner worthy. And then he talks about in verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Fellow workers in Christ Jesus. What makes you part of the family? Who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Oh yes, greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. And greet Mary, who has worked hard. As you go down the list, he's listing individuals that are part of a body that are involved in the church. So what makes you a part of Family Bible Church? You call it your home. 1 John 2:19 says, they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. There is a devotion that comes about with any family. And that's what makes you a part of that family. It is not an exclusive club. It's you love Christ, I love Christ, and we're united in our hearts because of this. And we have gathered together to worship him as a body of believers. And we become a part of a functioning body in the sense that we feel like we all have a part in this. This is a part of our family too. And we jump in. And the more you jump in, the more you feel a part of. We do have a new members class. The main reason for the new members class is to acquaint you with what it means to be a Christian. It's the main reason. And what we believe as a body, according to Scripture. But it is not necessarily a litmus test or a bunch of hoops that you jump through. It is letting you be acquainted with what you are becoming a part of. So we encourage you, jump in, and you'll feel a part of. Father, I want to give you thanks for your loving kindness to us in allowing us to be a part of your family. You tell us that you came unto your own received you not, but as many as received you, to them you would give the right or the power to become sons of God, even to those who would believe in your name. And now, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called family. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.